Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Perhaps some of you will remember when Day One Ministries came to visit us a couple of years ago now, I think it was. And they were telling us about the prison diaries, the Bibles they give to prisoners in prison. And these Bibles, these diaries, had a verse, a text on every page. And do you remember how they said, whenever the prisoners get them, they look up one date. Do you remember what the date was? It wasn't Christmas. It wasn't New Year. It wasn't their birthday. That one date they always look up for is the date they're going to be freed. The date they're going to get out. People long for freedom. But you know, very often we don't understand what freedom is. The prisoners have to get what they call rehabilitation courses, rehab courses, to learn how to cope with the outside if they've been in prison for a long time. Maybe some of you remember a film that was very popular a few years ago, Born Free, I think its name was, about lions that had been caged for so long, and then they set them free in the jungle. And they couldn't cope with freedom. And they came back to their cages at night to be fed. You know, it's absolutely vital that we understand what the Bible's teaching on freedom, liberty, really is. I think it was Rousseau, the philosopher, who said, man is born to be free, but everywhere he's in chains. Born to be free, but everywhere he is in chains. Well, here's our text this morning. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty or the freedom by which Christ has made us free. And some people think this one verse is the whole summary, the whole key to the whole epistle to the Galatians. And isn't it interesting? He's addressing Christians. Or at least those who are professing to be Christians. And he says, don't get entangled again in the bondage. You've been free. Don't get entangled again. See, it is possible for Christians to become entangled again. And what a sad, sad situation that is. Having been liberated, having been freed, to once again be entangled in bondage. Well, what then is Christian freedom? The freedom Christ gives his people. What is that freedom? Well, briefly, what it is not. It isn't license to do anything you like. Some people think it is. It's a license, do what you like. It's not. There actually is no freedom there. Neither is it. Some people's idea of freedom is total independence, not depending on anyone, being totally independent. But you know this? Nobody is truly independent. We are actually created to depend on God. Nobody's. Only God is truly independent. Nobody is independent here. Nobody can be independent. We are created to depend on God alone. And I'll tell you something else, freedom is not. Christian freedom is not. It's very important, this. It is not, as some people think, self-fulfillment. That's not freedom. Do you know what freedom is? Freedom is not self-fulfillment. It's God-fulfillment. You've heard a lot about self-esteem, self-fulfillment. When you hear all these words, replace self with God, and you'll be a different person. Instead of concern about self-esteem, get obsessed with God-esteem. God made you. God made you for a purpose. And you cannot be satisfied until you're fulfilling that purpose. The definition of freedom is, in the Bible, is this. It's doing what God created you to do. That's fulfillment. That's freedom. That's when you'll get what you're looking for. When you do what God created you to do. When is a bird happiest? When it's flying around. God created birds to fly. When do they sing and chirp away? When they're able to fly freely. When is a fish freest? When it's swimming about. Doing what God made it to do. We have to learn all that too. Now here's something else about freedom which we're taught in the Bible. Freedom, believe it or not, freedom, true freedom, requires boundaries. If that fish goes out of water, it's got no freedom. It's only free as long as it stays in the water, the environment that it was created for. Birds need space to fly. If they don't have space to fly, well, they're bound. Real freedom has boundaries. A child isn't really... A child actually is freest when it's in that playpen. And it can't get out that playpen. There's a boundary to its freedom. That's when it's free. It's important to grasp this. Freedom has boundaries. And you're free within these boundaries. You know these new trains they're building? They run freely. Oh, they run freely. But only on the track. A train has no freedom unless it runs on the track made for it. We have to learn that in our Christian lives. God created us, and we can't have freedom, we can't have peace, we can't have joy, we can't have fulfillment until we're running along these tracks, these boundaries which God has given us. And you see, until we come to Christ, we don't know what freedom is. And that's what Jesus says. If the Son make you free, you'll be free indeed. And you know, this message actually is, as we said, already directed to Christians. So maybe you're here today and say, well, listen, I might as well switch off. I'm not a Christian. What is Christ saying to me? If you're not, what's he saying to you if you're not a Christian? He's saying one thing only. He's saying this. Never mind this. Never mind that. Never mind your problem. Never mind what's getting you down. Just get obsessed with this. Come to me. Come to me. That's all he's saying to you. If you're here, you're not a Christian. All Christ has to say to you is come. come to me. We'll sort everything out later. But first of all, you come to me. And if the Son make you free, you'll be free indeed. Freedom is only in Christ. Because only Christ can free us from what shackles us. Only Christ can free us from what keeps us in bondage. And I just briefly, three things that Christ frees us from that keeps us in bondage. We need to be freed from sin. We need to be freed from the condemnation of sin. Sin condemns us. God condemns us because of our sin. Now, condemnation is not the same thing as accusation. Satan accuses. He's called the accuser of the brethren. Satan accuses the brethren of sins they actually commit. Revelation chapter 10 verse 12. He's the accuser of the brethren. But all he can do is accuse. He can't condemn. Only God can condemn. An accusation is only halfway toward condemnation. It's just an accusation. The case has to be proved in law, as it were, before there's condemnation. And for the Christian, when Satan comes along and accuses them of sins they've actually committed, it's at that point their Saviour, Jesus Christ, steps forward and says, "That's right. They committed that sin. But my death at Calvary paid for their sin. Let them go. Let them go. Let them free." Christ can free you from the condemnation of sin. And Christ can free you from the guilt of sin. You know, there's a lot of talk about people and the problem of people who have guilt feelings. I want to say something to you. Your problem is not guilt feelings. Your problem, guilt. Whether you feel it or not, you're guilty before God. Jesus can free us from the guilt. He took away the guilt of these people. Now in the Bible, guilt just means liability to punishment. Because of what we've done, because we've sinned against God, we're liable to punishment. Jesus can take away the guilt so that we're not liable to punishment. If the Son makes you free, you're free indeed. And the message today is stand fast in the freedom, the liberty, for which Christ has made you free, and don't get entangled again in the bondage. Christ frees from sin. Christ frees from Satan, the devil. He frees us from his control, from his influence, his power. Do you know what his power is? Satan's power. His power to deceive. His power to dupe. You can speak to a non-Christian out there and tell him what his situation is. Tell him what will happen to him if he dies suddenly. Does he begin to sweat? Does he begin to tremble? No. Don't believe it. Satan's duped them. That's his power. The power to deceive all your lifetime, as we'll come to notice. Now Christ can free us from his control. But thirdly, Christ frees from the bondage, not just of sin and of Satan, but the bondage of death. I find it a very sad verse. In, I think it's Hebrews chapter 2, where we are told there that there are people in this world who all their lifetime to release those who, verse 15, Hebrews 2:15, to release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Isn't that sad? People in this world, a lovely day like this, sun shining, they can't enjoy it through fear of what will happen to them when they die. Now, Hebrews 2:15 tells us there's people all their lifetime subject to this fear of the bondage, of this fear of death. So they can't enjoy anything. And of course, if they're not Christians, they've every right to fear death. Christ can free us from death. Free us from that fear. Christ, if he makes you free, you're free from every bondage. There's far more things keeping people in bondage than these three things I've mentioned. Now Christ can free us from every one of them. If the Son make you free, you'll be free indeed. But you know, Christian freedom isn't so much, the focus on Christian freedom is not so much in the Bible what you're freed from. In the Bible, the emphasis on is on what you're freed to do. What you're freed to do. Do you know what Christ frees you to do? He frees you to enjoy God again. To enjoy God again. That's what it was like before the fall of the human race into sin. Adam enjoyed God's fellowship, company, friendship. All that was lost the moment the forbidden fruit was taken. And the curse, the disjunction entered the whole universe. The terrible disorder that entered the universe. You see, death actually means separation. And a disjunction happened in the whole universe the moment man took the forbidden fruit. A separation. Man no longer enjoyed God. Man now wants God out of his life. But Christ, he can make you enjoy God again. And Christ can make you do what you're meant to be doing. Give you that freedom, that liberty, that joy that was once enjoyed in the Garden of Eden. Man can go back there, but only because of the second Adam. A man's religion, you know, ought to be the happiest thing in his life. Enjoying God. You ask that world out there, are you enjoying God? Well, don't know what you're talking about. That's the freedom that Christ can give a person. Freedom to enjoy God as he should be enjoyed and worshipped and reverenced. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty and freedom by which Christ has made you free. Now you see, as I said, he's addressing Christians. And he's saying, hey, you've got to make a decision. Stand fast in that. Don't get entangled again. Don't let anyone take away your peace. Don't let anyone dampen your joy. Don't let anyone spoil that love that you have in Christ and for Christ. Don't let anything remove your enthusiasm for Jesus. Stand fast in it. Enjoy. I know one minister and he preached in this text and he gave it the title. You know why he gave it the title? Enjoy your religion. Enjoy your Christianity. Came across a story last week of a little girl in an African state where genocide was rampant. There was this little girl sitting on a stone, and she was singing. And she had no earthly possession except the clothes she was sitting on that damp stone with. She was singing. One of the guards came along to her and said, "What are you singing? Aren't you seeing the carnage? What are you singing?" And she said, "I'm singing. Jesus loves me. This I know, because the Bible tells me so." That's love. That's faith. That's freedom. Christ can make you do that if you just have faith as a little child. We need to be childlike in our faith. Can you enjoy your forgiveness? Can you enjoy your God? Can you relax in the forgiveness that Christ gives you? Can you relax in it? Can you enjoy in it? Or do you need to prove something to yourself first? Oh, how sad it is to see those who do a faith in Christ, but they don't enjoy it. They don't rejoice in it. And Christ did all he did so that you wouldn't have a concern. You wouldn't have a spiritual concern except to honour him, except to stand up for him, except to be faithful to him, except to sing about him when there's carnage going all around. That's the only thing we should be concerned about. How we worship him anew and afresh, because he deserves it all. Can we enjoy the freedom wherewith Christ has set us free? There's a very, very solemn warning here. There's a wonderful command to stand fast in this liberty. But look at the second part of the verse. Do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. You know, Paul was saying to the Christians in the Galatian churches, if you find it necessary to be circumcised before you're satisfied that you're truly saved, he says three things that are really quite frightening. In verses 2, 3 and 4. And they apply to you and to me. He says, if you find it necessary to go through any procedure in the law, and for them it was for circumcision. For you it's not rightly to be circumcision, but there'll be something else. If you can't enjoy the liberty, the freedom that Christ gives you, until you do this or prove this to yourself first. Look at the three things he says. He says in verse 2, Christ cannot profit you. That's a solemn condition to get yourself into. You ask yourself, how did I get myself in this state? That Christ will be no profit to me. If you feel you've got to do something before you're going to feel saved. If you've got to do anything before you feel saved, apart from simply believing in Jesus, Christ can't profit you. That's the Bible, Galatians 5:2. He says in verse 3, if you feel it necessary to go through with this. Before you're going to be satisfied that you're truly saved, then you're a debtor to keep the whole of God's law in its entirety. If you're going to go down that system, if you're going to go down that road, then you've got to keep the whole law of God. Not just these few things that are troubling you. You've got in every little minor detail, keep God's law perfectly. James chapter 2 says, whoever keeps the whole law of God and yet offend in one point. Just one point. Imagine that man, that woman, keeping God's law perfectly. 40 years, 50 years, 60 years, 70 years. And then he goes to his deathbed. And the nurse jags in some morphine. Oh, he says, oh, he's broken the law at one point. Whole life failed. The system of keeping God's law has to be perfection. Absolute, total perfection. Not the very best you can do, but total perfection that meets God's standard. If you're going to go down that road, don't go down that road to heaven. You can't do it. You won't make it. You'll never arrive in heaven. Only by faith in Jesus Christ. Do you see what he says in verse 4? You become estranged from Christ. You attempt to be justified by law. See what he says there? You have fallen from grace. What's he saying here? He's not saying you can lose salvation. He's saying something actually far worse. He's saying you've never been saved in the first place. That's the way you think. If that's what you believe. If that's what you find necessary. What he's saying is, if you find it necessary to go through with this, you're not under the system of grace. I thought you were, but I was mistaken. You're not under the system of grace at all. You're under the system of law, where you've got to do things perfectly, everything, all the time. You've fallen from grace. You're not under the system of grace at all. We've to learn the system of grace. We've to learn it. Not by something you deserve. Not by something you've done. But by something Christ has done. Something Christ deserved. He says you've been estranged from Christ. The only reason you were saved, it's because of your connection to Christ. But if you're not connected to Christ, you're not under the system. You're not saved. You're not there at all. You were never there in the first place. Who is saved? Some of us heard a preacher at the Western Health Conference on Friday night. His name slipped me. Alan Cairns. And he said, if we tonight were to go to hell and open the trap door of hell, look inside, who's there? You'll find some Scottish Presbyterians there. You'll find some Calvinists there. You'll find some Baptists there. Find some Pentecostals there. Find Church of Scotland there. You'll find Roman Catholics there. You'll find atheists there. What you'll never find, what you'll never find in hell, is a believer in Jesus. Impossible to enter the pit of hell if you believe in Jesus alone for salvation. That's the gospel. Now, Paul's concern here, of course, is that they feel they've got to go through with this circumcision. And as I said earlier, it's not the remotest prospect, I don't suspect, that anyone here feels they've got to go through with that. Oh, but the principle still applies. Principle still applies. Maybe you're saying, I am not satisfied. I'm a true Christian. I've really been forgiven until I prove to myself I can control my life. And maybe you think that's good. No, it is good to control your life. But we're talking here about qualification for heaven. We're talking about here the one thing needful to be forgiven and to possess eternal life. Maybe you'd hear and you're saying, well, I'm not satisfied, I'm a real Christian, till I've gone at least 6 months without committing my besetting sin. What's a Christian? A person who believes in Jesus alone for salvation. Oh, I have to get all my doctrine sorted out first. I have to get my daily devotions consistent. Well, all these things are things you should be trying at and seeking after. But they're not the basis of salvation. They're not the ground upon which you receive forgiveness. They're not your entitlement to heaven. Only one thing is your relationship with Jesus, your connection to Jesus, your love for Jesus, your trust in Jesus, your gratitude to Jesus that he died on the cross to pay for your sins. And Paul's message this morning is, don't add to that. Not one micron. Christ's death at the cross and that alone, faith in that alone, must be what qualifies us for heaven. Well, as we close then, standing fast in the liberty that Christ sets us free doesn't mean being bold and cocky. It means humbly realizing in Christ, through Christ, because of Christ, you have the right in him to be free, to be forgiven. Only in him, only through him, only because of him. It means being small, not just feeling small, being small, being weak, being sinful. But in Christ, forgiven. In Christ, secure. In Christ, free. Paul says to you Christians, stand fast in that liberty what Christ gives you. Don't become entangled again. And if you are not a Christian here, just come to Christ. Just hear him say to you, come to me. Never mind about this. Never mind about that. Just come to me. We'll sort that out once you come. But come to me. All ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. May God, the Holy Spirit, make his word effectual to every one of us. Let's pray.